Good evening, everyone, once again. Welcome to the Film Joint. Let's talk film. Twitter space. My name is Don Intekim Rex, and I'm your host. Usually, I have my co-host with me, but he's unavailable right now. But he's unavailable today. So I'm going to be doing a solo run. But like I said, today's space is free for all. Everybody is going to be a speaker and everybody is allowed to speak because, you know, we just want to have like that banter. That's what it's called, like a banter back and forth where everybody just can say their minds, you know. And the last time we had something like this was where we had the topic unpopular film opinions, and we got a lot of opinions from people, you know, people who came out to say their mind about Hollywood, about Nollywood, you know, about the film industry, generally speaking, what they went through. And today's topic is, to what extent do we have creative freedom? And one of the reasons when we brought up this topic is when I and my partner were, you know, discussing, there was something that came up. There's a movie that that got released like a few weeks back or just last week. It's Gangs of Lagos. It's on Amazon Prime. And what happened is that the Lagos State government had a lot to say about it and how, you know, the film portrayed Lagos in a bad light. It had the some things within the movie were wrong, and there's some cultural issues with it, because, so for example, there's a masquerade festival called the Eyo Festival, and these Eyo festivals these Eyo masquerades are kind of sacred. So, you know, there was this backlash of how the film used this masquerades to look like gang, you know, gang people, or, you know, they were like used for violence. And, you know, it was bugging me in a way, and I had to ask myself, is there an extent, is there a line that we as filmmakers shouldn't cross in terms of filmmaking? Is there a point to which we say, oh, let's stop, you know? And that's how this topic was born. To what extent do we have creative freedom? I have a friend that used to say, there's freedom of speech, but is there freedom after speech? It sounds very cliche, it sounds weird, but I always liked it because it just means that you are free to do something, but is there freedom after doing that thing? So the question is, you know, is there a line? To what extent do we go as filmmakers? And for using that film as an example, you know, the Lagos State government was soliciting for the Nigerian Film Censors Board to ban the film. You know, to ban the film. And it's really weird that kind of thing happens. So apart from that, we have situations where we have, for example, you know, films where they show nudity, at least in this part of the world, we have issues with that kind of thing. We have, you know, recently in Nigeria, we have a lot more action movies, and people are even concerned with, oh, whether they're going to be perpetrating a lot of violence in the society, and you know, whether it's a good thing, you know. And they are also concerned about, oh, the level of promiscuity that is glamorized or glorified within movies. So I just I think I'll just open the floor and just say, for me, just using the example of the Gangs of Lagos movie, you know. And because the topic is a bit broad, and it can cut across a lot of things. So it can also cut across not just creative freedom in terms of how we can manipulate our reality and put them in films, but also, you know, should we leave things the way they are? For example, if we are going to be exaggerating things in our movies, should we exaggerate these things? Because our movies are supposed to be, a reflection of our reality. But then as filmmakers, we want to add drama, we want to add some spice, we want to add stuff. There was issue with this film. There were issues with this film, this Jeffrey Dahmer film, and how people were like, oh, they shouldn't have done a series on a serial killer. You know, it was a movie. And so you ask yourself, is there a limit? Should we say, oh, for serial killers, let's leave it at this? You know, even a movie that I watched recently, a Hollywood movie, and that was Tetris. And it was based on, it's like a biopic, but then they added some drama, like, and that's why I saw someone, they added stuff to it just to probably make it more interesting. Yeah, not saying that some of the things that happened didn't happen, but, you know, they added all those things. So for things like a biopic of a person, or things based on true life, you know, is there an extent to which you should go to add some drama? Or even if it's not about true life, you know, any movie in itself is supposed to be a reflection of reality. And the moment you are setting your film in a makeshift reality that is like our own reality, you now ask yourself, should you do this or should you not do that? So I'm just going to open the floor.
Okay. I want to start by saying that the topic is somewhat almost seems as though I'm in the middle. Because I kind of understand why both sides are bothered. Like, as an artist, I want to tell a story. I don't care who's us is God. I just want to tell a good story. If it means me having to exaggerate certain things to achieve my aim, to achieve the creative freedom that I need, I sometimes do not mind. But I also understand on the other side how, how easy it is for an average Nigerian to take things on the surface. So, for example, if in The King of Boys, in the opening scene, and how they use the Eyo masquerade as a form of criminal activity, it's easier for people to then go with that and say, oh, it's even possible that these things are actually true. I mean, then people take these things for it. But if you look at how Hollywood has grown over the years, you realize that they needed to take some of these liberties to get to where they are right now. And it does not necessarily change anything about who they, how people have come to see America. In fact, if anything, it has burnished their image, make them into this alpha country that they may not have been in all entirety. For example, I remember. Ooh. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll just finish your thoughts so that I know this.
Okay. All right. So I was thinking about a particular film. What they did with can't remember this not Al Pacino. Yeah, it's Al Pacino. This Scarface. How they portrayed is it the Cuban people? I think it was a Cuban in that film, for example, or what they did with Godfather, and how they portrayed the Italian Americans, and other films like that that have meet people all over the world, because Hollywood is worldwide anyway. So when you think of Mexico, when you think of certain countries that are North America, you think of gangsterism, you think of criminal acts and all of those things, which does not, you like to think, represent the majority of people in that country. But wise people will know that this is what it is. It's just drama. It is just what it is. It doesn't mean that this is how these people are. But there is also that side where you are thinking like, I am not these people, so I may not understand some of the things that they are feeling. Like the way sometimes people, America sometimes represent them, when they mention Nigeria, they link it with 419 and Nigerian prince and all of those things. It is not who we are, but it is how sometimes the media has come to portray us. So I'm like in the middle, but I would just say that I err on the side of art. Like, I feel like if people are, I feel like art is meant for people that think deeper. I like to think so. So which means that they are able to see beyond the surface, which means that they're able to see that this might be a reflection of a tiny percentage of the entire population of this country. So they are a lot more free to, they give freedom, so to speak. Let me just put it like that. So I am a bit on the side of art to be free. And finally, before I go off, I like to say that the bit you mentioned about the creative freedom as it reflects maybe sexuality and all of those things, I have this feeling that we are not, art in Nollywood in general, we are not even as advanced as other parts, as the country itself. In Nigeria, I like to say that life is more interesting than art. Like, there are so many things that are happening. If you open Instablog and all of those things, they seem to have better stories than what's sometimes obtainable in Nollywood. Yeah, sometimes. So it makes it come across as though what is happening in life is a lot more exciting than what is happening in art. So yeah, so let me just stop now. I will come back later to talk about.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, for what you said, I just talked this into my head. So yeah, you talk about art, and you know, as filmmakers, we have this drive that we're artists. And want to express ourselves, because what they say art is an expression of oneself. You get, but as filmmakers, we are not just creating this art for ourselves, we are creating it for an audience, the audience hear and see what we are putting out there. So when we put it out there, you gave the example of Nigeria being seen as a country where people are scammed, and you say it's the media that caused it. So don't you think that there should then be a limitation or some kind of curb to the extent to which we can just decide that, we want to do this or want to do that? Because personally, I think over the years, Hollywood has been a large role player in terms of crafting how people see, America. So if they have a large role in doing that, it then means that maybe we need to actually start thinking not just about ourselves in terms of portraying art, but thinking about how we reflect ourselves to the world.
I think instead of trying to say we should curb our creative freedom, I think we should actually allow for us to tell all sorts of stories, which means that you are telling all the good things and all the bad things. I think that's a better way of selling ourselves, because if you are saying that you don't want to show certain things because you feel like that particular thing is going to not sell your country well, then you are doing your art a disservice, because we are not meant to be all good people, and we're not meant to be all bad people. We're meant to be a mixture of both. So if you are saying that I'm not going to sell I'm not going to tell certain stories or show certain parts of my story because I feel I'm not selling my country well. Then you're doing your art a very, very big, a huge disservice, in fact. Because we're not meant to be, we're meant to be all sorts. We're not meant to be just one bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. Welcome, Ellen. We started like 15 to 20 minutes ago. So we're discussing to what extent do we have creative freedom. I started with using the example of Gangs of Lagos that was just recently released on Amazon Prime, and how the Lagos State government is trying to kind of ban or censor it. And that's because of, I mean, from what they said, you know, after reading the news report on it, what they said is that, oh, they were depicting Lagos in a bad light. They were, you know, the use of the masquerade, which is supposed to be sacred, it was defiled, whatever they want to call it. You know, they're not supposed to do that. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what I used to start it off. And because one of the reasons why we brought up the topic in the first place was just thinking about all the different issues that have come up over the years and how there's some form or need to censor filmmakers in one way or the other, whether it's in Nigeria or outside Nigeria. There's just some need. Someone is saying that, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't show nudity, you shouldn't show violence, you shouldn't use a masquerade, shouldn't hold a gun in your movie, like in the example of Gangs of Lagos. And it just got me thinking. So we've been going back and forth on it. Ola was just on it just a moment ago. But after Ola talked, I was also thinking that, are there some things that shouldn't be touched? You know, are there some delicate, because yeah, maybe in the Western world, I think our society actually also determines the level of freedom that would have in these various sectors. So I think for example, in America, they quote unquote have some level of freedom generally. You know, you can say what you want, do what you want. You know, and you might not get any backlash, except for now. We have this cancel culture thing that is happening, although cancel culture is a bit different. But, you know, there's, in our society, we're just very, very religious, very religious, very cultural, or very ethnic, you know. And so we just make things very sacred. Do you think it's important to, like, keep some of these things sacred, you know? Is it important to, for example, say, not tamper in your film, not tamper with the reality of a particular mythology, for example? Or using the example of Woman King, how what they call them? Someone should help me. The Agujis, they are, where are they from again? Is it Bene? Is it Bene? I can't remember.
Bene. I think it's from Bene.
Yeah. So the depiction of them was a bit different from how, where in actual real life, you know, if you read the history, they were actually like pioneers, you know, helped with the slavery and everything. But in Woman King, it seemed like they were, you know, they just had like a change of heart and everything. This is in the negative, though. This is a situation in the negative where, oh, the people actually did something bad and they are changing it for good. But then, is there a need to, like, keep those things original or sacred in its sense? I don't know. Does Ellen want to talk, or Dreamer, do you want to say something? Ellen, I just invited you to speak, so in case you want.
To be honest, I don't really have I don't really have much to say on this matter. This is actually the first time I've heard this. The Lagos State Government complaining about it. But seriously, this isn't the first time this sort of thing has happened in Nollywood. Many years ago, there was this movie called Stubborn Grasshopper about the life and times of Sani Abacha. And it did pretty well in southern Nigeria, but over there up north, they tried banning it and they sent the producer death threats. But seriously, what exactly did he say in that movie that we don't know? That's what I don't understand about certain things when it comes to banning movies. Does this mean we don't want to hear the truth? Why are we hiding? But, you know, I don't really know what to say. It's happened before. So, I think people should be careful when it comes to creative freedom. But then they need to do their research so no one gets killed or sent death threats. That's all I thought.
Have you watched Woman King?
Woman King?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I've heard of it.
Oh, you should check it out. What? It's not Nollywood, but it's Hollywood, but it's about an African Amazon tribe of women, Viola Davis.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I saw some of the, you know, promo pictures. Yeah, Viola, she was wearing an African costume.
Yeah.
Okay, was it banned?
Exactly. No, it wasn't banned, but it had a lot of backlash on the depiction of the tribes, and it was actually intentional. They had to change some of the history in a way. The tribe that they were portraying as good in the movie were actually like quote unquote bad. You know, they portrayed them as people that wanted to ban slavery in Africa, but then in history they were actually part of the people that sold slaves to the Europeans, and you know, a lot of like historical discrepancies in the movie, and you'd see that they weren't like, it wasn't an issue of they didn't do their research, but they intentionally changed those things just so that they could make the movie more
artistic license.
What did you say?
I think it's called artistic license.
So I mean, that's it, the creative freedom. When do you say, oh, okay, you know what? Let me not do this. Let me just leave it. This is the way it was. This is the way it's supposed to be. I just leave it. Some people appreciate it. I personally, like I was about to say, as an artist, I think my creativity comes in being able to manipulate what already exists. You get? So I have a story. It's good, but I think life can be boring. Like history, whatever happened can be boring. I think storytellers are the ones that make it interesting, because if you video me from morning to night, you'd actually sleep off watching it because I'm not that interesting. But I'm sure if you give a storyteller, tell a story about me, it's going to be awesome. So that, I think that's as an artist, I choose that. But also, I think there's also a side of me that is also like, I think we need to like keep some things the way they are, you know. Let's not manipulate some. Maybe there are some things, I don't know the things. I can't really say, oh, this thing, like, you can't like give it to me and just be like, oh, this, should we change some things? And I'll say, oh yes, this is it, don't change this, do this, you know. But I think there are some things that we should just like leave and not touch. Let's do this. But I think that's just even the aspect of, say, history or things that are quote and unquote facts, you know. But then there are still some issues that are not about facts. They are like the gangs of Lagos issue, it's not about fact, and some of them we already even know. It's just we're just putting them in movies, but either someone says, "Oh, we should do use masquerades as gun wielding people," and we're like, "Woo!" You know, everywhere is just, and that's why it's actually not the movie is not on Amazon Prime Nigeria. You have to use a VPN to actually watch it. Can you imagine a Nigerian movie? You can't watch it on Amazon Prime. You need a VPN. I don't know if it's changed, but at the initial stage, you couldn't use it. So it's very, very weird. let me see if I can get a comment from Ola.
Okay. Can I just say, now you mentioned it. Okay. Well, artistic license is nothing new, but I think the danger of using it is the ability to make people believe that what they see is what actually happened. And people can continue with that mindset for a long, long time. I'll give you an example. Shakespeare, he used artistic license in some of his work. Have you ever heard of King Richard?
Yeah, I have.
Shakespeare portrayed him as a bad king when in reality he was actually a good guy. But how many people actually know that? This is Shakespeare we're talking about. So in a way, I can see where the Lagos government or whoever's trying to ban that movie is coming from. Because especially people abroad, they might see that movie and say, "Oh, man, is this how all Lagosians are like?" Yes. But at the same time, it's a movie. You've got to make it interesting just to keep people glued to their seats. So I'm in two minds when it comes to this, really.
I'm also like you. I just split in a way. But I just think, to what extent do or does the government, in fact, have a role in censoring what we show? You know, should the government be even involved in this kind of thing? Shouldn't we be independent? Shouldn't we be able to just create what we want? Why does the government have to come in and say, "Oh, this is," you know, because the issue is not the film censors board is not banning it per se. It's the Nigerian government that is like telling the film censor board to ban it, you know. So it's a bit different, you know. So Ola, what you wanted to say something?
I was going to mention the fact that subversion is like one of my favorite. What screenwriters do with subversion is one of my favorite things about writing stories. You know how you know how a certain story happens, how it ended, and people that are going to the cinemas expect to see it in that light. And they do this subversion and then they tell it. They kind of change one or two things about it, and it just gives the story a new light. And it's just so beautiful. I'm going to mention one now that just readily comes to mind. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't know if you've seen it, Tarantino. I'm going to spoil it for you because it's been around for so long, so I'm going to spoil it a bit for you. So everyone knows how the story goes, at least people that are used that know the story of Roman Polanski, the director, the infamous director these days. So everyone knows how the story goes of how certain sex people came over to his house, didn't meet him in the house, met his pregnant wife and decides to kill the pregnant wife. It was such an horrible story. So what Tarantino did with the story was the way he flipped the whole thing around, such that it is the people that came out and came around to kill the woman that ended up being killed in such a horrid way. It's fantasy in a sense, but it is so well beautiful thought of and done that people who are used to that particular story or who know the original story kind of find a kind of relief in that fantasy, like so like there's a good ending to this horrible story. People know how the story ended, but just give it that new subversion. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. So there are other examples like that that kind of explains how subversion can be, if it is well done, can be such a beautiful thing. And yeah, I was going to use the case of what's it called, Game of Thrones 2, how certain parts of the stories are part of history of the old and of the Great Britain, and the writer managed to subvert some of those stories, and it's such so well done that Game of Thrones is what it is. And you could even use the case of Game of Thrones 2 to explain how, if a story is well told, certain things people would actually overlook. It is when stories sometimes are not well told that these things are like in the forefront. Like a lot of things like incest, what was happening in Game of Thrones, but people, it's almost as though people are even like, they don't even consider it. People, there are lots of people, Christians, Muslims, religious people of all kinds, watch Game of Thrones, but no one really are taken aback by, or maybe they are taken aback, but it does not stop them from watching this story. So I think what is even more important to people are a well-told story than issues like whether they are overstepping the boundaries and all of those things. This is when stories maybe have a bit of issues here and there, that the issues of they are not telling the story, that the case of creative license and all of those things begin to come to play. So yeah, that I was going to mention that too.
I'm going to jump on the last thing you said, but let me just welcome Kabisi and Uzo. Yeah, so just a quick recap. We're talking about to what extent do we have creative freedom? I would just like to get everybody's opinion on the topic. We started with, the issue we have with Gangs of Lagos and how the Lagos state government wants to ban it because I don't know if you guys probably read that stuff. It does feel very weird. They showed the Isaleko in a bad light, the use of the masquerade as gun wielding gangsters, all sorts of things. It was very weird. I was like, wow, when the Lagos state government gets so concerned with us, but it made me ask myself the question, should we have a limit to the kind of things that we should do, portray? Because as artists, yes, we are supposed to express ourselves, but we're also showing it to the audience. And as filmmakers, we are actually a huge part of how people or the outside world see our society. So to what extent do we have, creative freedom? That's the question. Should there be a limit? Should we actually, give ourselves a breather? Let's calm down. So on the last point that Ola raised, that is, if you tell your story right, those things might not be an issue. But there's something I said earlier on towards the beginning of this space, and that is that we are different societies, and I wouldn't say America is a very religious society anymore, at least, even if there are claims of founding fathers, Christianity, yadi yadi yadi. Right now, they are the most loose, you can be anything or do anything you want. So even the issue of incest that we're talking about, probably not a big deal. Nudity is not a big deal. So would you say as because there's the, we say, we're artists, we're creatives, we're this, we're that, but when you are in a particular society that, and there are principles and there are laws that guide that society, and these principles or laws kind of affect you as a person, do you then say you have a, do you have a moral obligation to actually say, oh no, this is how this society is, I should stick with how the society is? Or do I say, you can't hold me down, I want to be free, let's nudity, yeah, incest, there, yeah, violence, everybody, pew, you know, let's do what we want. That's on the side, you know, that's on the side. But then he made, I was also talking, I also remember something that a mentor also told me, you know, in screenwriting. So I'm a screenwriter, by the way. And he said, you know, we asked him about sex scenes in Nigerian movies and he was like, doesn't have any issue with sex scenes, doesn't have any issue with nudity. He says, everything you do in a film has to be driving the story forward. And when we were having this discussion, we're watching Parasites, we're more or less breaking down the movie Parasite, and there was a sex scene. And he was talking about how that scene was important, how he was driving the story forward. So, still coming back to you, can see that I'm contradicting myself at the same time. That's what Ola said. I'm defending what you said, and I'm also opposing it at the same time. Still, what you said, you know, if a story is told very well, we would have many of these issues. Like, you have the freedom, you do everything, you know, and nobody will query you. You get that kind of thing. I think that's the point that we need to get to as creative, where we freely do what we want, but because we are smart about it and we are actually creative about it, it doesn't have the supposed backlash that we think it will have, you know, in the society. So maybe there is no extent to creative freedom. We just have to be more creative and more smart about it. These are just my thoughts, but let me see if I have thoughts from Uzo. Okay, if Uzo is not with us for now, what about Kabisi?
All right. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, good evening.
My name is Kabisi Ademola, and I'm a filmmaker. I'm a cinematographer, and let me just put it that. And I'm also a film teacher, actually. I teach film in a state university in Nigeria, in the southwest here. You know, when the issue of Gang of Lagos came up, I watched the film before the issue came up. While I was watching the film, I had my reservations about few things. But then there is this thing about critics. A professional practitioner is not supposed to be a critic. So, in most times, when you have opinions about certain things not well done, as a practitioner, it can just be within you and maybe a few of your friends and your circle and all that. And if you know the author of such work, you could share, and you have to carefully share and all that. However, there is this thing about life, in quotes, which is selfishness, right? When you're dealing with entity and element that has or that have their representation in the physical space, you have to be very careful about how you do your storytelling. Because if they say that you are rewriting an already written history or story or event by the piece of art you're making. For example, if there was certain disclaimer at the end of that film that states that is not a this was just a fictional and all of that. If that was done at the end of that film as a very careful, you know, disclaimer, it would have made a lot of sense, you know. Now, when we talk about, you know, there's this issue we have as Africans, I don't know, which is we always look for validations for the things we do from the Western perspective. It's, to me, let me use church word, it's demonic. I'm not a religious person, right? I'm not a religious person. I'm ATR and all that. But then, let me use that word to explain the depth of that bigotry. It's demonic for you to also want to be right from the Western, you know, the Western phase. There is census board. I'm not even sure the census board is working in this country anymore. Even if they are working, the people in the census board, some of them are deeper lives. I've been making film as far back as 2006. 2007, one of the films I worked on as editor got Best Effects Hammer Award. Then it was being hosted in South Africa. Now, all of this whole thing, I've been in the film industry for over 15 years. I've grew with several, what was the English we use now? You know, faces and generations, let me use that word. You can't make a film about an existing person or an existing element or a character and you are derogatory about certain actions or events about them. It will not go well. It will not go well. If they were able to do that with Brotherhood, which was very great, it was entirely fictional. Anybody could go on with that. Introducing a you in that manner is very bad. I'm going to, you know, own up now. You know, I'm not supposed to be a critic. I'm not a critic. I watch every work. I learn and I make my own works and all that. But that was not it. That was not it. When Mel Gibson made Passion of Christ, I've interviewed Jim before, the guy that played the role of Jesus in that film.
Yeah.
I've done an interview for him before. Now, when you go back that behind that film and watch or speak to them about the event before and after the film, you will understand that once you're making a film about a physical element or an historical element or character, you just have to get it right. Now, if you make a film about domestic violence and in the film you did not vindicate women, these people will come for you. It's a social cause. They will come for you. The film will have to be pulled down. They are going to say, no, you're not talking about it very well. You didn't be in that storyline. You didn't vindicate the women. You didn't educate the women enough that they can be. Then you begin to see all these feminists and all these NGO coming for you and say, no, you didn't tell the story well. You made it look as if every man can involve in domestic violence, and then there won't be any repercussion for their actions and all that. So if there are people like that who can take up all of those things and say, okay, when you're talking about gay child education in a film, it must be well told. If you're talking about child marriage in a film, it must probably, you know, explained out. You cannot do it as if it didn't exist and you must not be partisan about it. Then why are they partisan about someone else's heritage and culture? That's me. I'm not from Lagos. I don't have any paternity or maternity relationship with Eyo. But I'm Yoruba. And if I leave Nigeria, every culture of Yoruba, from Ogun to Osun to Oyo, so everywhere, belongs to me as Yoruba, because I'm now a representative of Yoruba. So what I'm basically saying is, we can't, as creatives, always think that we can close one eye because the thing don't really affect us. When this film was made, what is the name of this film? Man of God. A lot of people came for what's the name of this lady? The director. Bolanle, came for her. And you could see that they felt, oh, why are you derogatory about Christianity? However, he told a non-partisan story and he created balance. When people were making noise, she said, okay, go and watch the film. And everybody that watched the film from beginning to the end, they found out that, okay, good. You vindicated the action that the guy, you know, took and all that. That is how film should be made. It's not that every film should always end up in karma kind of thing. No. But once it has a physical representation, if it's not Spider-Man, if it's not a fictional, if it's not entirely fiction, it has to be correct. That's why it's fame. That's why it's work of art. Because when we go for film festivals, I have to have my films all through December, January, February. They were touring several film festivals and all that. And some of the stories we told in the film, some had to do with domestic violence and all that. And I had to explain to some of the viewers that this film has a sequel. They were concerned that I didn't do justice to some of the, you know, things that happened to the lady in the film and the wife and, you know, some of those things, and the husband, rather. So I had to say, oh, there was actually a sequel that we're working on, which is true, and that's how film is made. If I'm not from that part of... If I'm not from Yoruba, let's assume that story was for the North, and I saw the Northern cultural display that it is very possible for somebody to carry gun under mask and shoot under... And I go for that kind of festival, or that kind of gathering in real life. The film that I watch there will be a kind of effect in my mind, or my mind about, hey, that's why I watch a film fear happen for you, Ma the guide. That is actually the reason why the Lagos government and the people who own that thing are coming out. For example, when Agenshin Kole was made, that was another example of telling the story and be careful with it. Now, you made a film. If Agenshin Kole was not tied to Ifa couples, it would have been fantastic and they would have, you know, they won't have issues. When they said the film is Ogunabedi, Ogunalotu Ogbelosi, I'm Babalawo, as I speak to you, I'm a practitioner, I'm a full-time priest. As much as I make film, I also have, you know, where I see people and all that. I'm just trying to let you know. However, When I saw the trailer of the film and the name Ogunabedi, and I began to see that they are portraying thief, I'm like, no, something is wrong. Something has to be done. Now, before I...
What did you say the title is Ogunabedi?
Ogunabedi.
I'm not sleeping.
Yes, that was Agenshin Kole. That was Agenshin Kole's title before it was changed to Agenshin Kole.
Okay.
Now, when I saw it...
King of Thieves.
King of Thieves, yeah. Now, Akinyi Akimolayan will speak. If you check my whatever you see, he follows me. We talk a lot. Now, I'm not very close to Femi, but then I'm close to Niyi. And I wanted to say, guys, come. In as much as you want to tell this story, it's a fantastic story. If Babalawo is talking to you and they divinate and they are, you know, reciting that corpus, it's a very interesting corpus. And I'm like, this is an interesting corpus, fine. But the tag on this couples, you are going to mislead the people, especially in the era where people are trying to open up to their ancestry and trying to find out the cultures and all that. Ogunabedi is not about thief, but he speaks about thief. So at that point, the Ifa community from the diaspora, they have to write them that they have to drop that title. If you notice, I think it was about 6 days. That 6 days or 8 days to the release of the film, that the film was, that the title was changed from Ogunabedi to Agenshin Kole. It was a very hectic thing for them. They have made all their adverts, materials. In fact, some of the adverts were already floated. They had to go and destroy them and make another one. That is something that looks like what the Gang of Lagos, you know, made. Because if they allow that film to pass on Ogunabedi, anybody who hears Ogunabedi the next time will feel they're talking about thief. And that's not true. For example, now, if you are doing a business, if you want to go into a business and you speak to a priest, an Ifa priest, to consult for you, and a consult, and that Ogbe comes out, we call it Ogbe in Yoruba, and the Ogunabedi comes out from the Ifa to your business, what Ifa is saying to you is that this business, no matter how stupid you are with it, you're going to make money. No matter how stupid, no matter how rough you are working on the business, you are going to make money. The business is a very viable one. That is what Ifa is telling you. Now, if you are watching Ogunabedi as King of Thieves, and all you think about that Odu is thief or stealing, and you come to a priest and he divinates and he says Ogunabedi, the next you hear is, oh, thief, thief, thief. And he will have to do, you know, the priest will have to do a lot of reorientation and telling you things about how the old rule is not entirely talking about thief. So you can't say because you are not a practitioner and that you destroy the practice for the people. If I come and tell a Jesus story about how Jesus is gay, all the Christians will persecute. They will come out and tell me the movie should be dropped. Yes or no? Yes. So it's the same way. The same way you can't talk about the Muslim prophet. You know, all these things, they are there. So that is why, as good and as fantastic Passion of Christ was, the Catholic wanted to get as Mel Gibson at all costs that there were certain things he didn't do right. Even when the whole world, when the whole Pentecostal are saying, this is fantastic, this is the best movie ever. The Roman Catholic, who owned that Jesus God, tells you that we own this Jesus character. We know it better. You should have spoken to us about the thing. We should have given you some more things about it. That is how dangerous making a theme about history, character, and all that as creatives. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank you.
Yeah, very, very, very insightful. Very insightful. I think I can come up with some conclusion that is in my head. And one thing that we can take out from what you said is when working with facts or historical, you know, works, we need to be very careful. And when and the thing is, as you were talking, I just remembered the series Shantytown. And I realized personally what went on through my head when I was watching is that they had to name the place Shantytown intentionally because they didn't want to walk off an existing place so that they don't have the issues of creative freedom. You get that kind of thing. So at the end of the day, you know, if you had a different kind of masquerade, like a made-up masquerade, you know, or even using a different place, maybe it's not even Lagos, maybe we wouldn't even have all those issues. But then, you still find some people that say, you know what, let's not be too hard on these things. Like, yeah, people see these things. You see the masquerade. We watch the movie, but that doesn't mean that I would go and think that masquerade is going to do this. You know, people watch, you know, the King of Thieves, maybe if they did it the way they wanted to do it. That doesn't mean that I'm a smart person, because that is what sometimes we tell ourselves. I don't think people are that dumb or people are that stupid, you know. I just try to be creative and when as a writer, when you're like sitting down, your mind just kind of goes wild. I think sometimes some of us, our minds go wild. We're just like, wow, this thing is not, and then someone tells you, no, calm down. Personally, sometimes I used to feel like, God, don't tell me to calm down. This idea is mind blowing. Because the truth is, whether we like it or not, personally, like after watching the Ayo stuff, I was like, when the gun was brought out from the clothes, I was like, that's true. You know, it can hide stuff under there. You know that kind of thing. I was like, yeah, that's true. You know, that's very true. So it's I think at the end of the day, it's not even a question of creativity. It's not a question of principle. You know, in principle, should you do this or not? You know, I think that's what it boils down to. In principle, should you do this or not? I don't know if anybody wants to say something. Ola, Uzo, you are going back and forth. Ellen, anybody wants to add something to...
Hello.
Hello, Ellen.
Yeah, that's me. Okay. I just thought about something. When it comes to using artistic license, I'm more for the directors, producers and writers adding certain, you know, extra bits of information, you know, just to make it more interesting. Made up information, of course. But they've got to use their common sense. The reason I say this, and also I've just remembered because someone mentioned a religious movie, Man of God, earlier. When he said Man of God, it reminded me of something I heard of ages ago when I was still at university. There was this TV series on, well, first of all, there's this movie called Noah. I don't know if you've heard of it or seen it on TV, based on the story of Noah, as you probably have guessed. And I've not seen it myself, but from what I understand, Christians complain because the movie was all about the flood, special effects, and that sort of thing. But from what I understand, it didn't mention God once. Why would you... Why would you make a movie about a biblical character if you're not going to mention God? And also, and I remember this very well because I was at university, there was this series on, I can't remember if it was on Sky, definitely not Netflix because it hadn't come out at the time, but there's this movie about certain events of in the Bible, or I'm not sure what it was, and apparently there were sex scenes in it. Can you imagine a whole family gathering in front of the TV to watch a story about characters in the Bible, and all of a sudden you see two people getting down and dirty in front of children? Why would you do that? Why? And, yeah, okay. And but even if you don't have sex on TV, I think people are still going to complain. There's this series, you've probably heard of it. I can't remember the name. I think the name is The Messiah or something. It's about a man who comes from nowhere and he has followers from all over the world following him. You know, he uses...
Is it The Messiah? Yeah, I think...
That's the one. Yes. Okay, if you watch the... information on the screen, it says... not based on real life events. Are you kidding me? Everyone knows it's based on Jesus. Even the guy looks like Jesus. Yes.
Yeah, but I personally think that was still good, because what they were trying to say is that they are not saying this is Jesus. They're telling this is not Jesus, but at the end of the day, still like did like a modern day version of Jesus. So I think they were able to like slide away with that. They were able to just like run away with that because of that disclaimer, you know. And I think that's what Kabi was saying, you know, if there's some kind of disclaimer.
The thing is this: when I was in film school, we were taught that when you're making a piece of art about either an existing element or a physical character, two things you are supposed to think of is, number one, the acceptability of the critics from the left and the right. You have to make a balance. For example, like Helen said about the Messiah, the moment you hear the Messiah, the first thing that comes to your mind is Jesus.
Yes.
So you can't make a film about such a person. The disclaimer can't get you through. The only thing it could get you through from is from the legal, maybe the legal case. But then from the social perspective, you are still going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the basic thing that I'm talking about. I'm not saying every creative should go to school, but then the reason why we talk about the formal education to every talent is because you will understand the practice of the talent in the space that you are, basically. Thank you.
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. But people need to take care. But for example, this Messiah movie, the only reason they put that disclaimer there was because they didn't want religious fanatics coming at them. But we knew, even Stevie Wonder can see the movie was about Jesus. Yeah, so I don't know. but did it, if the movie is, trying to teach people about Jesus or, religion, does it really matter?
At the end of the day, I think in everything we do, we just have to try to create some kind of balance. I don't think it's ever black and white. I don't think it's, do like this, don't do like this, because you have to find, as creative, you have to find that balance between that urge to just go and just do whatever you want versus, you know, you saying, oh, I think this is not good. I think we are treading into in deep waters. You know, it's like that man of God thing. You know, people will be like, oh, why are you portrayed the church like this? I usually ask myself, they didn't say any church name. They didn't say, oh, this is the way the church is. They said, in my story, in this place, this is the name of the church. It can be Beauty Church. And I'm saying this is the way this church behaves. It's the same way. It's the same way I create characters. When I say I have a Kunle in my film, I'm not saying all Kunles are like that. I'm saying this Kunle in my own world acts the way I wanted him to act. So if we can create characters with names, with attributes, with a lot of things that are very similar to existing things without in our society, without necessarily getting some form of backlash from the society by saying, oh, this name is used. Are you saying all families are like this? I don't think using, say, a church, because I'm just using the example. I don't think using a church, for example, is saying all churches are that way. Now, this example might not fall in the same light with the use of masquerade, because there is a kind of sacredness, and I think that's what we're still going back to. It's a kind of sacredness, because the only reason why somebody will not be angry that they are using his name in a movie as a bad person is because there's no the height of sacredness to those things, and it is not there. But there's a height of sacredness to religion. There's a height of sacredness to culture. There's a height of sacredness to ethnicity. And we as creative now have to decide whether we want to keep that sacredness and say, oh, this is sacred. I shouldn't tamper with this thing. Because the truth is like this. An atheist, or let's put it Christian Muslim, a Muslim that doesn't really understand much about Christianity and stuff like that, and wouldn't necessarily have any issues with creating some kind of manipulation with some Christian story. And I come from a pure point of view, you know, very genuine point of view, nothing to it. But then, you know, the Christian will see it as a bad thing and whatever. So I think there are just some things that we have made to be sacred, and we just need to actually cover ourselves and say, okay, this, don't tamper with it. This, don't tamper with it.
To interrupt, but I was wondering, did people actually complain about Man of God?
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
It was just subtle complaints, because not much. That's because it was a story. Yeah. That story was Fato Yimbo's story. That's the guy that owns Koza. Yeah. So people who know the story got to link it to him that, oh, this is Fato Yimbo's story. And then the guy that played the pastor was an ex-member of Koza who knew Koza's dirty stories. So it now looks like, these people plan to actually make this film. However, it was not a total condemnation. It was just more of the sycophant followers, not the entire Christian faith, now to say. It was the addicts you know, the dummy followers who are feeling, oh, why will you speak to my papa? That kind of way.
Okay, but seriously, guys, what's closer?
It's a church. It's a church. It's the name of a church.
Oh.
Commonwealth of Commonwealth of Zion Assembly. Something like that. In Abuja.
Closer. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Because, all right. But you know what? Why are they complaining? Everything that we saw in that movie happens not just in Nigeria, but all over the world. Look at that pastor, the celebrity pastor who was Justin Bieber's spiritual advisor. Look at what happened to him.
What happened to him?
Sorry, you're very correct. You're very correct.
Get out of the go on.
You know, the Pentecostal scene around the world is an example of what happened in that film. You look at the guy in Zimbabwe who was sent for conference of is it global warming or something, climate change, and he went behind making a deal of gold that is stole from the country. A pastor, very popular, the guy in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Who said he doesn't believe in climate change, and yet you are a delegate to speak over that, you know. So the fame, like I said, it wasn't, you know, I use the word sub to complain. It wasn't the entire Christian faith that complained.
Mm.
They were just the follower of the person in question who felt their papa is being exposed. You know, that's just that. It wasn't the entire Christian faith, you know.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay, and I was always saying, you were asking me about the pastor I was talking about. When you get the time, search Carl Lentz. I'll spell his name, C-A-R-L, then his surname is L-E-N-T-Z. That guy is unbelievable, seriously. Yeah, there's a whole documentary on YouTube about him. This guy was so religious. He told some of his church members that if they were dating, they couldn't even say, I love you. They couldn't kiss. Yet this guy was shagging his church members. And he's a married man.
I'll check him out. I'll check him out.
And also, and just like the guy in Man of God, you know how pastors, you know, they're supposed to live simple lives because they're the man of the people. This guy would wear designer labels. And also, his church was a celebrity church. People like the Kardashians used to go there. But any, you know, celebrities, they're not really associated with religion. Anytime they got tired of the service, they'll go into a green room reserved for celebrities. So they'll watch NBA games on a big screen while the pastor was preaching to people in the main church.
I am serious.
Also, you know how people line up to go into a nightclub, you know, velvet rope, bodyguards and things? That's exactly how people are lining up to go into the church. I am not joking.
Okay.
This is serious.
I am serious. Yeah. Look for the name. I am not joking.
I would say, this is an example, but at the end of the day, it's like, there was a time where I think there was the issue with depiction of white garment churches too. In Hollywood movies too. I think there were subtle complaints, that's not the way they are, you know, and all those kind of things. So I personally just think if there's smoke, there's fire somewhere. So sometimes what happens is as creative is that we just kind of pick on things that we just subtle things, just like, oh, this thing happens. This guy killed a man. That's the reality of what happened. But what if we say he brought an ammo tank and he blew up his house? That is what we do as filmmakers. We make it far more interesting, or we exaggerate, we try to tell a good story. But personally, I think rounding off, except if you have like a closing statement, anything you want to say, my partner is even here. Welcome, Benga. If you have anything to say to round off, I'll just let you speak. But I think in closing, I think what we can just say is that I just think we need to be careful as creatives. I think there's creative freedom. You can do what you want, but you have to also be careful. You have to understand where you are. You have to understand what you are doing and know what you are, like, know, research, know what it is that you are trying to, the story that you are trying to talk about. You know, if it's about history, history is a part of the society, is what helps the society grow. So if you are talking about history as a filmmaker, you don't want to tamper with it. This is my own opinion. I'm not saying that, but you don't want to tamper with something that you think is going to have like a very drastic adverse effect on the society, like history. So you want to be specific and you want to not manipulate stuff like that in ways where people then see the movie and, you know, you change perspective of people, because film is a very strong medium and people, societies. I used to say that when I was growing up, I used to feel like the police in America is perfect. Like, I just usually, like, 5 minutes, something happens. Within 5 minutes, the police is there. Come on, man. That's until, like, someone used to tell me, like, until I grew older and, you know, people would tell me stuff and like, it's not as perfect as that. So film has a great effect on our orientation and how we think. So if we are manipulating anything, let us understand the consequences of whatever we are trying to manipulate. So that's it from me. Uzo, do you want to say something? Uzo, you haven't said anything. I'd like you to say something.
Okay, yeah, great. I've just been listening to what, you know, what everyone has to say, and I chose to keep quiet because I felt like I need to learn from, you know, what everyone has to say, and to really have learned, you know, from the different perspectives, you know, everyone has brought to the topic. For me personally, so what I just have to add is to say, like, we live in society, you know, people have different opinions about art, and obviously art is very powerful, you know, so people always influence, you know, or stir up emotions. So going with the film Gangs of Lagos, personally I didn't see anything wrong with it, and I will give my reason, because first of all I felt it was a small part, like, how I put it now, obviously it's fiction, it's very clear it's fiction, and I don't know, I understand the place of, you know, respecting, especially when it comes to religion and, you know, cultural stuff, I start place of respecting, you know, people's like principles of that culture or religion, but I also think in a way it's, as you said, it's not black and white. You can't say, oh, say this but don't say that, because even if you say this and don't say that, there will always be people who complain that, oh, you said this and you didn't say that. So you can't actually, if you're a filmmaker or a creative, you can't actually please everyone. You just only have to do, personally, I like to look at it from the lens of, is this piece of art that you've created, does it work? So you might decide to talk about, you know, maybe someone in the religious sector or a real life person and decide to spin it and give your art your own stuff. So personally for me, it's like, when you look at that art, does it work in the context of that story or in the context of that film? Does it work? Because you can't always please everyone. You can't always say, oh, I don't want to annoy these people.
Uzo, it seems like you're off. It's off. We're not hearing you anymore. But I think we got the drift of what you said, Uzo. So yeah, it's not black and white. I always pride myself to be quote unquote smart, you know. So at least now, you know, maybe as a child, you know, children are not that smart, and that's why a child can watch Superman and go outside and jump off 10-story building thinking he can fly. But you know, as an adult, we know what's real and what's not real. And so if you're going to assume that for everybody, then we could say, there's no issue. But we know that there are still some people that are just, and like you said also, there are people that, whatever you do, they'll still complain. They'll still say, you didn't do this well. You were not supposed to do this. You showed too much breast in the movie, you know. Because right now, I also have that issue in the industry. People are like, oh, did they need to show the breast? Did they need to do this? And I'm asking myself, I don't know. Maybe the filmmaker felt like there was a need to actually go raw. Did they need to show blood like that? You know, there was a need to show blood so that you actually get immersed into the feel of whatever is going on. You know, so sometimes I feel like also culture just affects the way we see things. And
film joint. Yeah. Sorry, but you know what? I think you should make that your next topic. Should nudity be part of Nollywood? No, seriously. Okay. Maybe you should.
We would put it on our list of topics. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, because I've noticed that there's a lot of nudity in Nollywood these days. But is it really necessary? Can't you tell a story without showing someone's boobs?
Yeah. What if it's a nude scene? What if it's a... I mean, that's the topic for another day.
Yeah. Okay, just a suggestion.
Yeah, thanks. I also wanted to say that, you guys could drop... I would make a post on that, but you guys could drop comments on, you know, topics that we think we should discuss about. We have like series of topics already, you know, but we kind of just pull them out and say, okay, this is what we should do this week, this is what we should do next week, this one, you know. But it's also nice that sometimes, you know, you guys give us topics. So yeah, you're already in the spirit, Ellen. So I think we've come to the I don't know if KBS wants to give a final remark or something, or to say something finally.
All right. Thank you everybody for being here. This is actually my third time or so, and I think this is a community that we should also invest in to grow and, you know, bring more resources and all that. However, there is what we call self ego, which is what we love, personalized, you know, interest and all that, and there is the community seclusion and all that. For nudity, okay, I think like Ellen said, that should be discussion for maybe some other time, and then I think at that point we can then, you know, make proper research and, you know, look at it, okay, from the spectrum of the West, the Asian, the Indian, you know, all the continents and all the, you know, several cultures. Because you cannot rule away, you cannot rule out cultural influence on creative. It's not possible. There are certain Indian films that were not made in India because of certain things they want to do. They have to come to America to make them. So let's just maybe put that for next week, or maybe some other time. Don't let me say next week. I don't know how you guys
The schedule. Yeah. Some other time. No,
thank you, everybody. So my name is Kadok Sadimola.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for honoring. Thank you for being on this space. Film Joint hosts these meetings or discussions every Friday. Please send, or what's it called? Invite your friends next time. Tomorrow's, next week's topic is going to be more interesting. We also going to be hosting the Film Joint premieres in June. June 6th, we are in final stages of selecting the 5 films that would be premiering on that day. When more information comes out, just follow us on our Instagram and Twitter's social media handles for more information. Thank you very much, guys, for joining. Have a happy Eid. Eat right, yeah, and have a great day. Bye.